book 1 and chapter 3, verses 5 to 13. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants from whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because they will bring it light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames.
Thanks, John. Our gospel reading comes from Luke 6. And it's chapter 46 through to the end. And so Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like. The one who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was built well. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." It's the end of the gospel reading. Thanks be to God.
Well, I'm not going to preach much this morning because this is about your time. Okay, it is Vocation Sunday, so same before. And all over the country, in different dioceses, in different parishes, in different churches, I suppose the person at the front is asking people, "What have you been doing for God lately?" And it's not about me looking at and seeing different people, what they've been doing, and who haven't been doing much. It's not about that. As I said before, it's not about the vicar or the leaders of the church. It's about you and God. Are you in a good place with God in your labor? Do you know that all that you do for God, he knows and loves you? Do you know that when you're laboring for God, you're not doing it for yourself, but for him and for one another? I remember I went to Uganda for about 12 days when I was in college studying. A team of us went over there, not as a mission thing, 10 days isn't long enough for a mission, but for a cultural experience to see Jesus outside the Church of England, to realize that Jesus wasn't English. You know, he's actually African, he's Chinese, he's Russian. Wherever you are praising him, that's where Jesus is. He's all things to all people. But when we were out there, there were loads of people who were doing things, laboring for God from all over the world. And we met these British people who came from Bradford, I think. And they were talking excitedly about what they were doing. They were saying, we've been doing this, we've been building that, and we've been getting all these things together. We've been changing community. We've been transforming lives. We have been converting people. I mean, right after it, I thought, it's fantastic. They had such a passion for God. But actually, it was all about them. It wasn't about what they were doing it for, who they were doing it for. Because you see, it was God that called them there in the first place. It was God who built that school. It was God who brought people together. It was God who transformed society and community. And it was God who transformed lives. But the thing is, we don't need to go over to Uganda to see that happen. We can see it happen right here in this church and in this parish. And I got to thinking that we have about 80 people on the last electoral roll. How many have we got on the new one? 84. So we've got 84 adults on the electoral roll, and maybe a few more who haven't signed up to the electoral roll yet. And I thought, if each one of us gave just 1 hour a week, you've got 80 odd hours we can pour into this community. What a difference that would make. And it's not always about building schools. The most important thing is about building relationships. And that's when Paul speaks into the heart of the church then. Reminds them that, what are you building? Don't build it on myself and Apollos. You can only build it on Jesus Christ. So then it always becomes about Jesus rather than about individual people. And so today it marks a very important and special time in which I hope you can reflect over the past year and feel the love of God praising you for all that you've done. It doesn't have to be something that's all on these noted boards around us. It could be the very fact that you put yourself out there to help somebody. That is a labour of love. That is building up the kingdom of God in somebody's life. And it's as simple as that. And we can all do it. But when we start acting in service for God, we start to realise that all the things we've been learning, all the things we've been hearing from the front, all the things that we've been singing about and praying about, comes into action, starts to come alive, has a bigger and more important purpose and meaning, starts to build deeper than what you thought was ever possible. And when you start labouring for God, you start to realise what he can do through you. It starts to build up that relationship of love and trust. And when things seem impossible out there, you start to realise, actually with God, anything is possible. I know some of you are exhausted, you're tired from everything that's going out in the world, going on around you. I know some of you are aching from pains or illnesses. And God understands all that. But how can we manage all those things if we can't start to build a working and honourable relationship with God first? And see how actually he can help you through those things. Because when you're labouring out there for your aches and pains or for your tiredness, he wants to help you work through it. He'll give you the rest you need. He'll give you the healing that you need. But for that loving and trusting relationship in the first place, how can you know him and receive from him? All around us are all sorts of boards. And here there's one about worship, as I was saying before. But there's also new opportunities as well. There's a drama team. There is a creative space team. Look at this church. It should be a spiritual place full of wonders and signs about who it is we worship. But we take this space for granted. It's not part of our spiritual experience. Well, it should be. This is the house of God. And how much did we spend on it over the years to keep it going? If it's nothing different to a place we frequent in the town hall or the conservative club, what's the point of having this special consecrated building? It's meant to be a spiritual place. Well, let's make it feel spiritual and get a team to do that throughout the church calendar and the church year. I'd like a few more people to come and sign up to be communion assistants with me. What a privilege it is to help administer communion and fellowship with your family. Come and help me. Other boards talk about communication. Communication is a massive thing in every walk of life. You communicate all the time. I'm communicating now with my hand trying to get your interest. Look at me, I'm talking about communication. Communication is really, really important. We have quite a good system in place with a bi-monthly magazine, a bi-weekly newsletter, we have a website, but they could expand and be an absolutely vital tool in communicating the gospel message. So why not get a team together that can develop that tool, make our magazine be a community magazine, get stories in there full of people whose lives are doing well. Get the pub landlord to come and put a story in there. The person from the pharmacy. The guy at the butcher's or the woman at the baker's. Get their stories involved in this monthly magazine or however often we do it and develop it into a community magazine that in there is the gospel message about their being loved and cared for. And get our weekly or bi-weekly newsletters and get them full of stories about you and I, what's God been doing in your heart, in your life in the past week. Start building up to make it a, more than just a bit of information we take home and throw in the bin or leave it under a bookshelf and forget it's there. But actually becomes an important part of our ministry. And the website needs to be developed as well. Somebody to run it who's got the skills and confidence to keep it alive. Because most people access that now these days. What's going on at St. John's Church? I've just moved to the area. What's going on in the church? And access the website. And it's got stuff in there about 4 years ago. What's it say about our church? We haven't done anything since then. Well, of course we have, but not much. Over here, there's things about having a social team. Coming up with ideas about getting us all together a bit more over the summer, over the winter. Come do more pub quizzes. Come and do a great event in the park. Get all families together. Talking of families, why not create a new role in which we can get some family people together of other families and care for them, love them, get to know what their needs are, how the church can actually meet those needs in the church and also out in the community. There's a mission team there. When was the last time you all got out there and did a submission for Baxingdon? Is it a year ago? 2 years ago? 20 years ago? I don't know. When was the last time you got out there and did something? I don't know. But why aren't we out there doing it? Because we need people to actually motivate us and inspire us. Let's get a mission team then. He gets out there to know the community and says, look, there's a need here. And then get some people on board to go and do it. There's other jobs there to look at as well. We need a financial team to help be good stewards of our money. We do spend a lot of money in our church. When was the last time we spent some money on a decent mission project? Last year? 2 years ago? 20 years ago? Come on, this is your church. It's not my church, it's yours. And this is your community you're called to work and serve. Children's work. A lot of people come and help me do assemblies on a Wednesday morning. That would be fantastic. I would love that. And why not come and help Joyce do the foundations? She does that by herself, pretty much. And she pretty much organises the switch to the youth group in the evenings. She's got some misfits to come and help her out, such as Lorraine, John and myself. But we need more people. There's a big, big youth community out there that don't know Jesus. And when was the last time they were spoken to and loved and cared for? We can do it in all sorts of extraordinary ways. Rebecca's out in the creche. She labours that by herself pretty much every time. But look now, behind you in that lounge. How many people are with her? Why aren't they part of the creche team helping her, working on the rota? Wouldn't it be great if they said, Rebecca, you come and sit in here with Paul in the service. We'll do the creche this Sunday. That's what it's all about. And yet we're not there in numbers, helping each other, supporting each other, because we're so wrapped up in trying to build up our own life without one another. And we get caught up in all the busyness and all the ailments, and we forget about God, and we forget about each other. I came to faith because I served God in a ministry I never thought I could do. And that grew and developed and I realized, gosh, God can do amazing things through me. It's given me so much confidence that I started doing things beyond the Bible readings, which is so important, and the OHP, which was so important at those days. Phil's up there with the team, but he's not. He's by himself. Why isn't there two or three other people come to join that team so they can work on the technology side of things? And we start doing that together. Then you start to realize what it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love each other in that same way. To love people beyond yourselves. But it's up to you. So I thank you, and I know the Lord blesses you for all that you have done. And maybe it's right for you to just keep that going. Or maybe it's right for you to stop, to have a rest, to have a break. Maybe it's right that you've had that break. You need to come in and start doing something for the Lord. But what do I do? Well, people have spent all night, well, not all night, some have worked quite late at night time. You must have missed the Eurovision Song Contest. My heart went out to you. Yeah? Don't worry about it, okay? It's a great show. But all displays out there just of ideas. And it may be that you don't feel you want to do anything right now. That's okay. I promise you, I'm not going to have a go. It's fine. But walk around. See what people are doing already. And Lord, then pray for them to give them strength. To keep on going. It does drain you. And sometimes the last thing you want to do is do something more in your life because you're already tired. Well, hang on. Make God a priority. And if it is just walking around and praying for people, that's putting people before yourself. And that's a good place to start. Look at all the boards. Even just briefly, look at all the jobs that are going on and praise God for those workers. But don't forget, they're just as tired and exhausted as what you are. And don't take them for granted. Where's the last time you had a cup of tea and a Jaffa biscuit? And just thank the kitchen staff for all their efforts. They're there all the time putting it on for us. So they weren't there, you wouldn't get a cup of tea. It's special, isn't it? And yet it's so simple, act of ministry and love. Thank you. Brilliant. That's all it takes. Lift people up. You know, most Christians in this country lack confidence because they don't know enough. And they are suffering with so low self-esteem, and because how the world judges them. You are special people. God loves you so much. And he wants to raise that confidence and esteem in you so that you have a purpose in this life for him and each other. I'm not going to go on now. I'm going to give you time, okay, and space, now, just to go around. And this is an act of worship in which you're praising God. Have that joy in your heart to think, Lord, I can't help Rebecca in that creche, but I pray other people will come forward. And that's what it's all about. And the more we help each other, the more we get to know the Lord, and the more we get to know our brothers and sisters in Christ. So when we sit here today, we're not strangers. We know each other's. We know each other to pray for them, and we know each other to be prayed for as well. And remember, there is nothing impossible you can't do if God wants you to do it. And you maybe feel that you're called to do something today, or maybe you need a bit more time to think and pray about it. That's between you and God. Does that sound all right? So use this time now to explore what's in here. Let God speak to you. And the best gift I've ever had is a servant heart. I don't excel at anything, but I can put chairs away. I can maybe, hoover up and try and clean a bit of the church. I can maybe go behind there and do some teas. Some jobs you can all have a go at. Other jobs would be a bit more specific. You know, there's a guy here sat today. He won't want me to say his name. Gets out there every now and again and cuts that grass. And he's suffering in pain. Not because of age. It's a bit of arthritis, that's all. But he does it with a servant heart. Wouldn't it be great to have other people just to help him along with that? Or even just to say, thanks, mate, for doing that. Absolutely brilliant. We need a caretaker. We need all sorts of things. Go out there, read the notices, take it all in and see what God says to you. And we're going to come back, have a bit of prayer, have a final song and a blessing. Have a cup of tea and a Jaffa. Save me a Jaffa, won't you? And then just go home and just keep yourself with God. Keep him in there as you think things through and let him direct you and steer you. And all we're saying is that, Lord, I love you. What can I do for you? And that's all it is. So go. You're brilliant. Thank you. Have a bit of a mosey. And I'll see you in a minute. All right.